You have had some nice honors in the last few years. In 2015, you were inducted in the National Fiddler Hall of Fame.
Right. My class was great. It was Charlie Daniels, Jay Unger, me.
And the posthumous inductee was Howard Big Howdy Forrester.
Howdy Forrester, yes. Oh, yeah. So and his family class, is right. Howdy Forrester is just fantastic.
And also, I believe in that year, you were inducted in the Oklahoma Music Hall of
That's
Fame.
That's right. That was 2015. Boy, I know that year.
Tom Paxton, Tom Skinner.
Yes.
Otto Gray. And the Apache tribe of Oklahoma for its contribution to music.
Sherman Halsey was in there also.
The son of Jim.
Right.
That took place in Bristow.
And I'm going back to Bristow. I love all this. It's kind of like revisiting a wonderful experience, you know, that Bristow Auditorium, PAC, is just fabulous.
I got to say, the passing of Guy Logsdon.
Oh, gosh.
We have his interview here on voicesofoklahoma.com.
I'm glad you
what
do.
What a man. A contribution to the world of history, to Woody Guthrie, Bob Wills. This man just...
Fiddle contests. He ran the fiddle contest here for a long time.
Okay, right.
He was a phenomenal person. Yeah. And I just saw Phyllis... And his daughter, Tamara, and Tamara's on the board now at the Woody Guthrie Center. But anyway, we just shared a visit, and I was honored to play for his services.
I was there.
Oh, you were?
And I think there was some worry that you were going to be able to get there on time. You flew in.
I flew in and went right from the airport. I mean, it was close, and they'd already started the service, but I made it in time to.
It looked like it was just like you'd been hanging around for hours. But it was a nice tribute that you could be there for Guy Logsdon, who was just one of the sweetest men you'll ever meet.
Oh, and so brilliant.
Yes.
I was so honored, and I was honored to play for Sam Lovello's service. He was a producer of Hee Haw. And he's the one who connected me with Jim Halsey.
Okay.
He did such a nice video endorsement of me for the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame that I still have. It's wonderful to think of these people who have these good hearts, and they help you along.
It's nice to hear that about showbiz, because sometimes we think about showbiz as probably not
caring. I know. Well, a lot of people are clamoring to get to the top, but I've never had that feeling. I just want to take advantage of opportunities, and I want to be good for whatever organization or whatever show I'm in. If I can contribute, I'm there. If I can enjoy it, boy, that's frosting on the cake.
You've taught many students.
Yes, and I love that, too.
Is there any that you have seen that blossomed and are having a career in music?
Scott Joss is one that comes to mind. He was with that Reading. I didn't talk very much about the Reading String Program, but I started out with 4 students the beginning of the year, and we had over 200 by the end of the school year. And Scott was one of those. He played for Dwight Yoakam and Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard until his death. Scott always writes me a Christmas card and signs it, "Always your student."
Wow.
That's really touching.
Yeah.
And then the gal who plays with Rod Stewart, Chana Jacoby, I started her at age 4. So, yeah, those are really heartwarming. Eric Dysart, who's here in Oklahoma, he came to fiddle camp when he was 6 years old, never had picked up a fiddle. And, of course, his grandparents took him all over and helped him get his roots in music. But we had our part in it because he was inspired there at the beginning. He always comes back. That's what I mean. I love sharing this and seeing somebody connect. And if they can go on to a career or just to enjoy it for their whole life, that's my reward.
I always ask, as a person looks back, what gives them the greatest satisfaction? And that has to be one of...
Yeah, sharing music, I think, is it. I love sharing music on stage. I mean, that's my high. And affecting people, sharing it so that other people blossom. Even with my band, you know, I always share the guys, you know, love to show them off. So that's kind of me. I'm just a catalyst. I'm here to do what I can to make it happen.
About your career, do you have any regrets? Because Roy Clark, when we visited with him, So there's a regret I have, but maybe that I didn't work harder to push myself to be a star. He became a star, but yeah. I think he thought he could have become even greater if he pushed himself. Do you have any regrets in your career?
No regrets. I feel like I'm in a really good spot. You know, I experienced the real big time with Buck, where you can't really go out of the house. And Elvis was caught in that conundrum where you go out and you're in a public place. If you don't get attention, you feel like they don't love you anymore. And if you do get too much attention, you know, you don't have a moment of privacy. So I'm in a great spot. Yeah. You know, I can do shows. I've been blessed to be able to earn my living with music. I've been blessed to be able to share it. And I still can have privacy when I want it. I can walk through the airport now, and sometimes people recognize me. I love to talk to them. Mm-hmm. If they don't, it doesn't bother me,
right,
you know.
Right.
So yeah, I'm in a real good spot. Yeah. Right.
Young musicians that maybe are listening to this and will be listening to it 25, 50 years from now. Not every musician can become a star, but what would you say to them?
You don't have to be a star to enjoy music and have music be your passion and your life purpose. It's whatever feels right, I think, to the individual. You know, if you really want to be a star and you really want to go through that process, you got to have a recording contract to be a star. But even then, many times it's flash in the pan. You're a big star and then you're not. Right. And then you have that to deal with. So you have to realize there are ups and downs and do whatever it takes to even that out. When I first started playing with Buck, we were out a couple of weeks and I came home and I could not get out of bed. I couldn't move. I mean, I just couldn't do anything. I guess you'd call it depression or something, but I wasn't depressed. Or I didn't think I was. I'd never had any problem with depression. But I mentioned it to a friend, John Hartford, who wrote Gentle on My Mind. And he gave me the very best advice. He said, you think about it, Jana. You've been out on the road in these tight quarters, traveling together, playing together, intense adrenaline going all the time. You come home and you crash. And that's exactly what happens. So it's like you're on an artificial high, even though you haven't taken any pills. Right. You're on an artificial high with all this adrenaline. And then you're going to crash down as low as you were high before you come back to normal. Hmm. And he said, it's natural. So I said, well, what do? He said, you just get out of the house. Just make yourself get up and get out. So I did that. And by gosh, I never struggled with that again. Well, I did struggle with it, but I made myself get out.
Right.
And once I was out, it was okay. It was like I pulled myself back to normal.
I guess we forget you music stars are human too, aren't you?
Well, that was pretty good advice because I thought it was not normal, but it is normal to experience those highs and lows. You just have to learn how to deal with it. And I think if you can stay off the pills and the stuff, you're doing yourself a favor because you learn how to do it yourself.
Right. Not everybody can have a strong music career and live off it. In my oral history interview with Steve Ripley and the Tractors, and he's associated with Leon Russell and Bob Dylan and all, he said the guys who play on the weekends and go back to their regular job Monday through Friday are having the most fun.
Well, I don't know. I'd say I'm having the most fun because I get to do it all the time.
All the time, right.
And I don't feel like I even have a job. I just am doing what I really love to do.
And you get to still do that.
And I get to still do that now.
You're still busy in whatever age you are.
That's right.
You are very fortunate.
Tremendously blessed.
Because you have all these dates that are yet to be played and all.
I do. At the end of this summer, I will have performed in 50 countries.
Oh, my.
So I feel like I'm sharing music with a lot of people. And I'm taking our music, our American music. I'm very proud to represent America. In China, we were the representatives of the USA. I took Barry Bones' bat, and he plays the bones just phenomenal. and they loved him so much. I mean, he was the star. He's dressed in his big black Western hat, cowboy. And they said, oh, we want to get that Cowboys, the American Cowboys autograph. Sharing a little bit of America and our American music really gives me great pleasure. I love playing. You know, I still play in string quartets. I'm going to Romania, going to be with the Gypsies, and then we're doing chamber music over there as well, a couple of concerts. But I love that sharing, you know, bringing our American music to them and really appreciating what their culture is sharing with us.
That must be a terrific feeling. And like you talk about the Chinese, how welcoming they were to you. Oh. I mean, they're listening with their mouth wide open.
Absolutely. And they are enthralled. And the fact that we are Americans coming from America and playing American music, they just love it. I mean, they eat it up. They just can't get enough.
And because of the way the world is today, they know the music you're playing, too. It's not like the first time they've heard it.
Yeah, bluegrass is really big in Japan. I was shocked. We did the Aspecta. It's the largest outdoor facility in the world, right there by Kumamoto, where the volcano was starting to erupt just when we were leaving. But anyway, it was a real high, this huge thing on the hillside, this huge number of people, bluegrass or country, they just went ape over. They just couldn't get enough cheering, clapping along. It reminded me of French Gulch Hotel when they were about to dislodge that logging saw. They would be up on the tables clapping along. That music can be very, very inspiring and very moving. Fiddle music has a rhythm, strong drive, so that people start clapping along, tapping their toes, dancing, whatever. It's kind of a release, too. I think people really enjoy it, and I enjoy providing that.
And you know how fortunate you are, because when we hear your entire story here, you were chosen. You were chosen. Not everybody gets a gift. Not everybody wakes up and knows what they want to do or be. But you were chosen.
Oh.
And your gift, of course, comes from God.
Yes, I do believe that. But, you know, we have to use whatever talents we have. I think if your heart is in the right place and you want to do good and play good music and share good vibes, that good things happen. It may seem like you go through some ups and downs, but I feel blessed with everything that's happened in my life. Yeah. I look at it as a blessing, and I hope I can be a blessing to others.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, that's probably how, you know, that I've been able to share and that I've been able to have enough of a career in music that I can share and share beyond our borders, that I can really make a difference in this world to whoever I touch.
Well, you're very fortunate. And we're fortunate to hear your story.
Oh, thank you so much, John.
Your story here to voicesofoklahoma.com. This was fun and I enjoyed it.
Well, I have enjoyed it as well. You're terrific.
Thank you.